Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. A little warmer this morning than it was last Sunday morning, so that's good. As we continue looking at leadership, let's pray and ask for God's blessing as we look at His Word. Father, we're so grateful that You, as Almighty God, love us. And Lord, You love us more than we can imagine. Lord, as we are challenged in our lives to be the leaders, the influencers that You've called us to be, may we be challenged by the principles of Your Word. May we be encouraged in Your grace. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at leadership and wanting to encourage you that leadership is not a position. It's not a title. Leadership, as John Maxwell said, leadership is influence. And we all are called to be leaders. No matter the title we may or may not have, no matter our station in life, we're called to be leaders. And over the weeks, we've been looking at different characteristics of a godly leader. We saw that a leader needs to be, as Jesus explained or demonstrated as He washed the disciples' feet, a leader needs to be humble. Last week, we looked at the story of David and Mephibosheth, and we recognized the importance of a leader having compassion. And this morning, as we look at the life of Peter, we must recognize that a leader must have courage. Now, I don't know if this happened to you, but I knew when I was in trouble with my parents. And one of the ways that I knew I was in trouble with my parents was my name would, I'd say change, it never changed, but how they addressed me would change. All of a sudden, they began to add my middle name. Anybody else have that, where they added your middle name? If they added my middle name, I knew the next time period of my life would be a time of learning. And then if my mom did it, she'd use my middle name, and then she would say, well, we'll wait till your father gets home. That wasn't good either. So we see that oftentimes we may be addressed differently when we're in trouble. Well, Jesus did that with Peter. Actually, his name was Simon. But Jesus renamed him Peter, but many times in Scripture you will find him called Simon, and usually that was when he was in trouble. But Peter means a rock, and Jesus renamed him Peter. Now, some people say, well, the reason he renamed him because there were actually two disciples named Simon. There was Simon the Zealot and Simon Peter. Jesus named him Simon, or named him Peter, or called him Peter, I believe is a reminder to Peter that he needed to be a rock. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They saw these two men, the religious leaders who were trying to stop the spread of the gospel, saw these two men and recognized the boldness that they had, the courage that they had. And they recognized there's something about them. They're uneducated, they're untrained, they're just commoners, but there's something different. And they recognized that was the fact that they had been with Jesus. Now, I believe Jesus gave Peter the name Rock, or Peter, which means rock, to remind him. I don't know if you're familiar, there's a famous baseball manager who recently died named Tommy Lasorda. And he had a young pitcher that he thought, this guy has the world of talent, but he just doesn't have that boldness, that strength as a pitcher. And so he nicknamed him the Bulldog. And a sort of an antithesis of what this young man really was. Well, this young man eventually changed and became one of the strongest, most bold pitchers in Major League history. He ended up becoming a Hall of Famer. His name was Oral Hershiser, and he was famous for his clutch performance at difficult times. Jesus did the same thing with Peter. So as we look at Peter this morning, we're going to look at two different names, Simon and Peter. Sometimes he showed great courage, courage like a rock, but other times he was fearful. Many times, as he was fearful, he failed miserably. And so we see Simon the fearful and Peter the fearless. Let's look first at Simon the fearful. Peter's must have known his most known failure was when he denied he knew Jesus after he had claimed that he'd be willing to die for him. The story is told in Matthew 26. Let's pick up the story in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 26. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" So they're meeting there in the upper room. They're having what we call the Last Supper, and they're there, and Jesus said, "All right, you're all going to flee." Continuing on there in verse 32, "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Now, I want us to spend just a second there in that last phrase. All the disciples said it. We like to pick on Peter. But he was one of 11 that didn't stand for Jesus. Now, obviously, Judas was going to go and betray him and then hang himself, but the other 11 disciples, not one, stood with Jesus. It says they all fled. Only Peter and John were around when Jesus was being tried. But Peter said, "Lord, even if I die, I'll not deny you." Now, you see the story goes on. So they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested, and now he's going to trial before first the Jewish leaders. And Peter is out in a courtyard warming himself by a fire. And here we pick up the story in verse 69 of Matthew 26. It says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, 'You also were with this Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again, he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." You know, why did Simon fail? Well, he failed because he wanted to follow his own plan. Another great failure of Peter is recorded in Matthew chapter 16. Now, this event occurs right after one of the great moments of Peter's time as a disciple. He had just finished declaring that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus asked the disciples, "So who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say Elijah, or another prophet, or John the Baptist. But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that Jesus called him Peter and said, "And upon this rock, the foundation that Jesus Christ is God's Son, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So that had just happened, and now Jesus is sharing how he's going to die. And Peter steps in and says, oh no, that's not how it's going to work, Jesus. He had declared him the Son of God, and then he says, all right, now, Son of God, let me tell you how this is going to work. So we pick up the story in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but things of men. Peter didn't like Jesus' plan, so Peter said, this is going to be the plan. And Jesus, this is what you need to do. And this is what you need not to do. But he had his own plans. And we will not be courageous when we try to follow our own plans rather than God's plans. But we also see Simon failed when he trusted his own power. So they had been there in the upper room, and they're going out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus leaves them to pray and takes Peter, James, and John a little further, and they're supposed to be praying, and then Jesus goes by himself to pray, and he comes back and he finds them sleeping. In verse 37 of Mark 14, it says, then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, and I think it's interesting, they were all sleeping, but he focuses on Peter. And notices what he calls him. He says, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The idea that the flesh being weak is a reminder of our own weakness. Now, shortly after this rebuke, Judas brings a group of probably around 600 soldiers to come and arrest Jesus. And what does Peter do then? He takes out a sword and he cuts off one of these guys' ear. His name was Malchus. Why did he cut off his ear? Because he missed the whole head. He was going to face 600. But then just a few hours later, he would be fearful to the point that he wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus to a serving girl. And 3 times he would deny that he knew him. Why? Because he was trusting in his own power rather than the power of God. But then Peter became the rock. Peter, the fearless. And jumping back to the book of Acts in chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, we see that the scene is here where Peter and the rest of the disciples were standing and sharing the gospel. People were coming to Christ, and the church was growing. And these religious leaders said, we've got to stop this. And in the previous verses, one of the leaders, a guy named Gamaliel, says, listen, if this that they're claiming is not of God, it's going to fall and fail. But if it's of God, there's nothing we can do to stop it. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 40 of Acts chapter 5. It says, and they, that's the religious leaders, agreed with him, Gamaliel, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they, the apostles or disciples, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching, Jesus is the Christ. So they were beaten and warned, if you talk about this Jesus, worse things are going to happen to you. But they considered themselves, they considered it an honor to suffer for Jesus, and they could not stop sharing the gospel. Both from house to house and also in the temple. What was the difference? What was the difference between Peter, the guy that, or Simon, the guy that wouldn't even say that he knew Jesus, one that fled, to the guy that said, I don't care what you do, I can't stop talking about him? Well, Peter followed God's plan. Rather than making his own plans, he learned to trust in God and God's plan for his life. Acts 4, verses 18 through 20, chapter previous to the one we just read in chapter 5, Peter and John were put in prison for sharing the gospel. And so as they're being released, it says, so they, the religious leaders, called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, you do whatever you want to, but we're going to do what God calls us to do. No matter the consequences, we are going to do what God calls us to do. We're going to follow His will, His plan. They trusted His plan, but also they trusted His power. Peter would fail when he attempted to do things in his own power, but when he did things in God's power, amazing things took place. And Peter, in 1 Peter 5, reminds us of the importance of recognizing Satan's power, but also trusting in God's strength in the middle of the battle. And 1 and 2 Peter, written by Peter, some amazing statements that he makes throughout those two letters that he shares. And one of those is found in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. And it says this, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. They needed to trust that God would give them the strength. Satan was powerful, but they could rely on God's strength. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to share how he stood and proclaimed the gospel of Christ. We see that on the day of Pentecost because it was God's power, the Holy Spirit working in and through him. And it's amazing, as you go through the first chapters of the book of Acts, you see thousands and thousands of people that come to Jesus Christ because of the bold proclamation of the gospel of Christ by Peter and the disciples and the others who were followers of Christ. Many who ended up suffering and even dying for Christ. But what's the difference? What caused the courage, the boldness from a weak, fearful person to a strong, godly leader? God's plan, God's power. But I want to encourage you this morning, because if you're like me, we all can go back to those denying Jesus moments where Peter denied and fled, where we have an opportunity to stand, to be that courageous, godly leader, and we don't. You know, we can also be encouraged in God's grace. God is a God of second chances. And you say, you know, I've messed up, I've failed more times than I can count. Peter had to feel that same way. And if you go through the Gospels time after time, oftentimes Peter claimed that he would do amazing things and then he failed. But time after time, in the midst of the failure, we see God's love. He's the God of the second chances. And even in those couple that we talked about, we see God's love and grace demonstrated toward Peter. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. This is the same scene where Peter said, "I won't deny you." But Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times." But in verses 31 and 32 of Luke 22, it says, "Then the Lord said, Simon," again, that name, Peter had to be going like, "Oh boy, this isn't good. Simon, Simon," he even said it twice, "indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I," Jesus speaking, "have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," there's a key there, it's when you have returned. In other words, you're going to mess up. You're denying me three times. But Peter, I'm praying for you and I'm confident that you're going to return. And when you return to me, strengthen your brothers. I know you're going to fail. In the midst of Jesus' greatest need, Peter and the others don't stand with him. But Peter, I'm praying for you. And I'm not done with you. And those other guys are going to need encouragement. And Peter, I'm praying that you're going to be the one that does that. And we see that Peter did. In Mark 16, verses 6 and 7, Jesus had died and he was put in the grave. And this is Easter morning as Jesus is risen and the angel is there and he is there and the ladies that have come to the grave meet the angel. And it says this, "But he," the angel, "said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples." And that's usually where we say, "Go tell his disciples." And we stop there. But notice what the angel says. "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he," Jesus, "is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." See, the disciples had all fled, but the last interaction that Peter had with Jesus was when Peter finished denying him the third time, the rooster crowed, and it says that Jesus and Peter looked at each other. That was the last time. Now, we don't know where Peter was during the crucifixion. We know where John was. He was with Jesus' mother, Mary, and some of the other ladies that had the courage to go and be there by the cross. We don't know about Peter. But it's amazing. Jesus knew the pain and the heartache that Peter felt in his failure. And so Jesus speaks to Peter specifically through the angel, saying, make sure Peter knows that he is alive. And you'll see him again in Galilee. An encouragement that he's the God of the second chances. But we also see a courageous ending to the life of Peter. Some people would say, well, it's a pretty sad and miserable ending. And physically, it was. But as far as being a courageous leader, an amazing ending. Throughout the book of Acts, we see Peter. And by the way, he was called Peter or Simon Peter throughout Acts, never just Simon. And he wasn't perfect, but he stood courageously in the midst of incredible persecution. And shortly before Jesus went back to heaven, he challenged and encouraged Peter. And it's found in the last verses of the book of John. In John 21, verses 18 and 19, he had just challenged Peter, feed my sheep. Told him that three times, sort of a reminder that Peter needed to be strengthened, and Peter's answer wasn't as strong as it should have been. But then he says this in verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, speaking to Peter, when you were younger, You girded yourself and walked where you wished, your plans. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify, he, being Peter, would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus is saying, listen, Peter, you're going to die for me. You need to follow me. Now, the Bible doesn't share the death of Peter. But Peter, like all of the disciples, ended up basically giving their lives as martyrs. Only one died of natural causes, but he died in seclusion and isolation because of his faith. And that was John. But we see that Peter would die, and tradition tells us, a historian named Eusebius shares what we believe is the end of Peter's life. We see that he was made to watch his wife be crucified for her faith, and then he was to be crucified. But according to tradition, see that Peter said, I am not worthy to die as my Savior died, so he ended up being crucified upside down. But he spent his life, and even into his death, as a rock. Peter, rather than Simon the fearful, Peter the fearless. And for each one of us, we have the opportunity to influence and impact the people around us. No matter our title or lack of a title, we're called to be leaders. We need to be humble. We need to be compassionate. We also need to be courageous. Following Jesus Christ requires risk. We must be willing to risk whatever it takes. And we can only do that when we submit to God's will and rely on God's power. And when we submit to God's will and rely on God's power, God can do amazing things through us, just like he did through the rock. But that submitting to his will, his plan, and relying on his power rather than our own are the only way that we can truly be a courageous, godly leader. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for your grace when I am not courageous as I am supposed to be. When I trust in my own strength, my own plan, rather than yours, Lord, help me to recognize that and to look to you. And Lord, I pray that you would use me for your glory. And Lord, for each one of us here, I know as followers of Christ, we have that desire. Guide us, give us the wisdom and the strength to be those godly leaders that are courageous. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.